Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hello and welcome to today's edition of Bodcast. My name is Nigel Jones and I'm Sales and Marketing Director at Practice Plan. And I'm joined today by Saheed Sadiq, and we're going to be talking about the views of young dentists as they start embarking on their chosen career. Welcome, Sadiq.
Thank you, Nigel. Thank you for having me.
I wonder, Saheed, if you could maybe explain your background and how you've come to be where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Dr. Zahid Sadiq. I graduated as a dentist in 2014 from King's College London. And I've then gone on to do my DFT year at the Eastman scheme, which was fantastic, great learning experience. And then I really pursued my dentistry through an associate role. So I currently work in a practice in Northwest London, but I also have a really big passion for teaching. And so along with some of my colleagues, we've set up a teaching sort of organisation called Dental Training Consultants. So I sort of spend half my time as a regular dentist in an associate role, and also then spend a lot of my time trying to teach and provide relevant content for people like myself and other dentists.
Thank you very much, Saheed. So it's great to have you here today. With that exposure that you've got to younger dentists, people say literally just out of university and about to embark on their careers, what do you see as the key challenges, the key things that they have to think about?
Yeah, I think, I mean, being a young dentist today, it comes with a lot of challenges. I think the career has changed very, very quickly. Even from when I first started dental school to when I've graduated, the career is constantly changing. So for a young dentist, we have to be incredibly dynamic and agile. And that's one of the challenges, but it's also actually quite a nice blessing because it means that we're constantly learning and there's a lot of excitement. But I think going in hand with that is there can be some anxiety being a young dentist. Learning your trade for the first time, really in the big real world, has a lot of challenges. And with the sort of digital generation that we are and sort of the exposure that we have, which was very different to what, you know, our peers would have, has made it a lot more challenging for a young dentist in their career.
So when you say there are differences maybe to previous generations of dentists, what sort of things do you have in mind?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the way we sort of access information now has massively changed, and I think that this sort of generation of where patients can Google their symptoms, for example, are coming with much higher expectations. And as a young dentist, that can be really challenging because, you know, you're facing a patient who has a good idea of what they may want. Their expectations are a lot higher, particularly from a cosmetic point of view. And you as a young dentist is just literally graduated and having to deal with all of that. But I think some of our peers who, you know, may have graduated 10, 15 years ago, they were dealing with a less complicated patient. I'm not saying their job was easier at all. You know, I'm sure they had lots of challenges as well. But I think the fact that we're now working in a very high-pressured environment where, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the NHS, as a young dentist, there's a lot of pressure on me as an individual to ensure that A, I'm meeting the needs of my patients, which are often incredibly high, but at the same time developing my skills in a sort of very competitive environment, and that balance of time and sort of learning and working can be quite a big challenge.
Yeah. So that point about patient expectations, I guess, as you said, it's fueled a lot by the internet and potentially social media. Those sorts of things?
Social media is huge. I mean, you know, patients will have access to obviously all the platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And, you know, a lot of dentists will actually, you know, publish some of their work on Instagram, like similar to fitness instructors or, you know, other beauty specialists. And so they can really come in and say, you know, I want a smile like this. And that can sometimes be an unrealistic expectation. And then it's my job as a young dentist to sort of say, actually, you know, at this stage in your oral health journey, we are able to, you know, stabilize you, for example, and maybe, you know, 6 months down the line or 12 months down the line, we can achieve something more cosmetic. But, you know, they're very quick to say, well, you know, this person did it in 2 weeks, or, you know, you can get a smile in a day now. You know, you'll hear adverts in the radio to say, get a smile in a day. And you know, it can come across quite difficult for me as a young dentist to not sort of exclude that patient, but to make them understand that actually, you know, there's a lot more processes involved than what you see on Facebook potentially, or what you might hear on the TV. And then I think the other sort of challenges are, I think as a dentist personally, and I went through this, and one of my seniors told me this, is sometimes we can get very, very focused and you know, we only treat the teeth and not the patient. You know, and as dentists, we don't treat teeth, we treat people. And I think that is, when I was told that, I think that really changed the way I look at dentistry and the way I practice dentistry. You know, being a new dentist, you get a patient coming in who needs a crown prep or needs a root canal, and you're so focused on delivering that treatment that you kind of forget the sort of social background of that patient or how that patient likes to engage with you. You know, it could be a patient who needs to be made feel very comfortable, and you need to engage with a conversation with them first and make sure that they're all right, because it's going to be a complicated procedure. And the other patients are like, you know, they want to very much get it over and done with and don't want to talk to you. And you've got to kind of use a little bit of, you know, patient personality types, or, you know, be able to judge your patient very quickly so you're able to deliver the personality that they need to receive that treatment, not just the clinical skills. And I think social media and sort of the information age has really changed that massively and accelerated that process, whereby you have to build that relationship a lot quicker now. And I think in the past, where, you know, you could see a patient 2-3 times and gradually build that relationship, we're at an age where we just want everything straight away. And it's very, very important that, you know, whilst you have to absolutely treat the tooth, you have to treat that patient as a person. And if you win as treating them as a person, you'll almost certainly win with your clinical treatment.
So I think that's really interesting, because I think you're absolutely right that things have changed an awful lot since I've been involved in the dental profession. And the advent of social media is something completely new. And I guess that brings some other aspects that, you know, GDC type considerations,
absolutely,
things like that, that you have to be sensitive to, that perhaps, well, certainly previous generations of dentists never even had to think about. That point about needing to actually be quite sophisticated in your communication and relationship building skills with patients, and even more so now because of that sort of time pressure to get to a particular point quickly. What do you think in terms of the preparation that you have at undergrad level for that sort of sophisticated communication?
Sure. I mean, I think it's a great question, and I think whilst at undergrad you do get prepared with soft skills, and universities are really trying their best now to incorporate this. Generally, if you compare it to all the other disciplines that you will learn at university that are around dentistry as a degree, communication is lower down the priority list. And yes, the emphasis is now there, and there's a big movement to try elevating that within dental school. So, for example, traditionally we may have been tested through essay questions or MCQ questions, but now we do a lot of OSCE stations where you're communication stations where we're actually talking to our lecturers or patients who are assessing us to help build those absolutely necessary skills. Personally, I think you know, my work experience outside of dentistry really helped my communication skills as a dentist. But I know many of my colleagues went straight from, you know, A-levels, doing really well in their A-levels, and then going straight into university at 18 and, you know, being excellent at passing exams. But actually the sort of soft skills that you need as a dentist, which are absolutely crucial, they struggle with. And there is a little bit of a knowledge gap there, I think. The way we're being tested, but also there's other sort of resources out there now where dentists can access this information to try improving their skills. But it's a unique skill in itself, and I think you need to now, within the sort of defensive dentistry realm, you absolutely need to put just as much emphasis on your soft skills than you would in your clinical skills, for example.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, the protection societies talk a lot about the fact that 60-70% of claims arise from breakdowns in communication rather than clinical issues, and the fact that people don't sue dentists they like.
Absolutely.
You know, so that rapport and that relationship building becomes really important, not just to be more effective at delivering care,
yeah,
but to protect yourself.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. And I think communication has changed massively. I mean, you mentioned social media, so it's not just the interaction or the intervention I have in that 15-minute window when the patient comes in for an exam. You know, they could have found me through social media. So it's how I'm actually communicating through a non-face-to-face channel is also impacting their impression and their relationship with me. And so while social media, you know, has its challenges, it's also a fantastic tool for a dentist to really promote themselves outwardly to the public and to the patients, to help sort of build that relationship before they've even entered into the surgery. And I think the successful dentists that I've seen have really utilised that well. And I think it should be seen as an opportunity rather than a challenge. Yes, there's absolutely challenges with it, and, you know, there will always be things, but if you treat it as an opportunity and really utilise all the different forms of communication that we have now, and it starts right through from your, you know, your receptionist introducing the patient, all the way through to, you know, you in the chair, and then outside, any communication of that, it's absolutely crucial and a great opportunity for particularly young dentists to exploit.
I mean, I can very much see that it's a great opportunity as well. And so you've got to be mindful, I guess, of things like the fact it may also be the GDC that are looking at your social media presence and ensuring that you're...
And you know, regulation is changing so quickly within dentistry, and I think you're absolutely right. You know, you have the GDC, but also, you know, the way the NHS model is changing and potentially, you know, will change again in the future with the pressure that it has. But also for me as a young dentist, from a professional development point of view, you know, my CPD requirements have very recently changed. And what does that mean for me as a young dentist is, you know, I kind of fall mid-cycle. So I need to ensure that I'm meeting the requirements that the regulator sent last year and now the regulations that they set this year. And so I think with very quick, rapid changes in regulation results in change in practice. And as a young dentist, it's a mental mindset to be able to be flexible and agile enough to ensure that you are still ahead of the game and you're not letting the regulatory changes around you, which sometimes are out of your control, have a negative impact on how you practice as a dentist.
And what do you think all these sorts of influences have on the desire to become a practice owner at some point in the future?
I think a lot of these influences will take a dentist in that direction. I think, I mean, in my experience, I feel like I was saying, young dentists want to do everything very quickly. And they're thinking about these things a lot sooner than potentially one of my more senior colleagues would have thought about. I think dentistry as a career is a fantastic career. Now young dentists are more aware of the varied roles that a dentist can play. So it's not just wearing my clinical hat, but it's also wearing my commercial hat, being able to run a business, lead a team, which is equally satisfying almost, you know, as treating patients. I mean, it does depend on the young dentist. Obviously, sometimes you're more clinically focused and other times you can have your commercial hat on. But the fact that you have those two options, I think young dentists, in the way that we have been brought up, we're never going to ignore our options and we'll always explore our options very early on. You know, it goes to treatment. We always want to intervene early rather than later. And it's similar with our careers. We want to know what's out there early so we can make those decisions that actually I do want to become a principal or I do want to go into private practice sooner than maybe, you know, one of my friends would have or, you know, one of my colleagues would have. So it's, I think, with all these different options and information out there like that, it's massively influencing on what the dentist does, and they make these decisions a lot earlier than, say, 15, 20 years ago.
And that you've raised the subject of private practice. So what's your sense of that sort of, preference in terms of NHS versus private amongst the younger dentists that you're seeing?
I mean, there's a big debate around NHS and private dentistry, and you know, there's a few areas of, you know, where the NHS really struggles, and I don't think we're in a... at the moment where we should completely abandon the NHS. But what I think people often confuse private treatment is they think that actually the reason why a dentist wants to become a private dentist is because there's a financial incentive. And I very much really think that's always the case. It's, I mean, for me, I've tried to incorporate over the last 3-4 years as much private treatment as I can. And that's because it's fueled my skills and my development. You know, I'm able to use different materials, I'm able to use different tools, which is really given me sort of more treatment options that I can give to my patients in their treatment plan. And you know, had I just restricted my practice to NHS, I feel that limits me slightly from a clinician point of view. So it's not always, you know, some people, you know, you will hear stories that, oh, people are going private because, you know, there's more money potentially in private. Actually, I don't think that's the case. With the dentist, private treatment facilitates development of a dentist. And young dentists are sort of the most hungry to develop. So whilst absolutely if I have some newly qualified dentists who came to my practice, I would encourage them to do as much NHS treatment as possible, definitely in the first year, in the second year, and build those skills. I would also encourage them where they can within their competency to explore private techniques, private treatment plans, and be able to offer those to those patients that can afford them, because it will develop them as a practice, but it'll also develop dentistry in the UK. And I think that's really key, because, you know, if you look at, you know, when sometimes I'll hear lectures or, you know, you'll have speakers come over from overseas and they're doing some fantastic, innovative, novice treatments that you think, wow, I didn't even know a dentist could do that. You know, it could be from surgical treatments to implants to, you know, CAD-CAM. And that's because they're fortunate that in their market it's not seen as a public health system. It's always been like that and they've had access to that. So I think we shouldn't limit ourselves, because essentially we would be slowing dentistry as a profession in the UK by doing that. And I think private dentistry really fuels a young dentist or a dentist to learn more and develop more, 100%. And there's no reason why you can't then use those skills with NHS patients. Absolutely you should, from an ethical standpoint. And hopefully that does happen. But I think, for me, definitely offering private treatment has led me to develop my skills more.
Okay, so if that's one strand of advice that you would give a younger dentist in terms of private versus NHS and expanding your skills, what other points of advice would you give to them as a way of kind of wrapping up this conversation?
So some key tips that I would give them is don't be afraid to fail. Dentistry is one of those careers that it doesn't always go right. And if you are going to fail, learn from it quickly, fail fast, and see what, you know, find out what caused things to go wrong and plug that gap, whether it's a clinical gap or a knowledge gap or a communication gap. But don't be afraid to fail, because that's where you'll push yourself as a dentist. You don't have to be this very safe, sort of only stay within a certain remit. You have to learn and push the boundaries. And I think we are in a generation where everyone is pushing boundaries in all careers to really enhance what we do as a profession. The other tip I'd be afraid is don't be afraid to sort of really sort of follow other people and see what other dentists that, you know, you may aspire to become, or, you know, shadow. You know, it doesn't always necessarily mean that you have to see the dentists that are in your practice. Quite often you can just do a 9-to-5 and you've got two other dentists in your practice, and, you know, you just sort of learn a few things off them. But, you know, really go out there, see what's happening around the world, see what treatments are coming around, and see what you can quickly acquire. And the last tip I think would be is enjoy it. Dentistry can be incredibly stressful, and you're going to be a much better dentist if you're passionate about things. So find out what you're passionate about. Find out what area of dentistry you really enjoy. Be it a commercial, be it a private focus, be it a restorative focus. Find out what you enjoy, and then dentistry will no longer become a job for you. It's more of a passion and a hobby. And that's where I feel like my practice and my sort of mindset has gone throughout my, you know, relatively early journey in dentistry, which is I'm doing things more that I enjoy, so I see it less as a job.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much indeed for your time, Zahid. That's been really, really interesting talking to you.
Thank you.